Today on Real Radio.
Does death concern you? God says to the Christian, are you kidding? Now it's just a tool I use to get you with me up here. Have you ever thought about that? The Christian, are you, raise your hand if you're a Christian. Put your hand down. Do you know you're not very far from home? A Christian's never far from home.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In fact, we're in a mini-series taken from the first 8 verses of chapter 5. Where the apostle writes about how different our heavenly bodies are going to be from the ones we have right now. In fact, he uses the word tent to describe our temporal earthly bodies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing his series of lessons called Tell Me More About Heaven.
Jesus mentions this in a parable in Matthew 22. But when he, Jesus says, the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, listen to this. How did you come in without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that there's a day coming, listen, that what you are wearing will matter. And any attempt to blend in, there'll be a day when it will be that the light will divide. None of our excuses will work. None of our efforts will work. It doesn't matter how great our motives were or how much we paid in taxes or how much we tithed or walked the little old lady from Pasadena across the sidewalk. It's not going to matter. Notice here in this parable, Jesus says, in the end, the king is going to want to know what you're wearing. And because the man was found to be as good as naked, he didn't have the right stuff on. What was it? He didn't have the apparel of the righteousness of God. And I want you to think about that for a moment. This is very powerful stuff he's saying to us here. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness. He. Did you hear that? Jesus does it for you. Pastor, I can't think. This Christianity is so hard. I just can't do it. Thank God. Give up and stop trying to do it. You have missed it. Christianity only works when you come to the edge and you say, I can't do it. He never asked you to do it. He asked you to believe in him. And in that moment, the valet, the Holy Spirit, clothes you in the righteousness of Jesus. You stand there and he puts your new robe on. And have you noticed, I don't know, I think it's true, that when you dress a certain way, you act a certain way. Have you noticed that? I stand up straighter when I'm wearing a suit. Much of it's because I'm so uncomfortable in one. But the tie, look, the pants are tight. The weight, you always wear pants tighter than what you should be wearing, but the suit, it's never, because you never want to buy a new suit, so you're like trying to get as many miles out of this suit. And it's like you gain 10 pounds, so it's like you're sucking at it. And so you're wearing like this, and how you doing? And then the tie, like, every man knows Satan invented a tie anyway. But we groan in this body, we're groaning. We all feel the effects. And that's God warning us. Every time we get out of bed, that's God warning us. Look, you live in a tent. You're just passing through. That's why as I get older, I buy more Advil. Now I buy it. I go to Costco to get my ibuprofen in the big Econo bag. Going to start, like I told you before, an elastic necklace with aspirin right here and then a little Advil right here. I can chew on it and put it back, have it readily available for any moment. Got a headache? Oh, I just moved that little necklace over here and chew on that one. Why? Because we're perishing, man. We're groaning. And as a Christian, as I get older, it's exciting. It's great to get older as a Christian. It's like, come on, Jesus, come on. But we're groaning in this life. He warns us about that. The fifth point in our study, verses 4 and 5, is this, is that we have so many questions. One of them is, why is there so much heartache and pain going on? Breaks our hearts. Yes, it does. We understand. Verse 4, it says, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. Circle the word burdened. Not because we want to be unclothed. He's not saying, I want to die. That's not what it means. He's not saying, I just want to die. I can't take it anymore. I want to die. So what he's saying? He's saying this. We groan right now and we put up with it because we're in this, but we are burdened. This word burdened here in verse 4 is powerful. The word means to be weighed down to the point of a great load. It means to be having the load press into your skin. By the way, those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress, everybody should read Pilgrim's Progress. What was going on with Christian? What was going on with Pilgrim? He carried a load so heavy. Remember that? He was carrying a load so heavy that he could hardly walk. And in the story, of course, it turns out to be his sin. And he's carrying this load through life. But it got so heavy. And I think Bunyan must have known this verse and used it. Because the word implies that the burdens of life weigh into our skin. So heavy. You know, right now, running around in the desert heat and on mountain cliffs in Afghanistan and Iraq are our soldiers. And just to give you a little bit, imagine last week when it was, what, 95 degrees last week? Take a cement bag, go get an 80, 90-pound cement bag and put it on your back and go run around Chino Hills in 95 degrees, and you've got it easy compared to what those guys are doing. And I know the packs have been designed in such a way to not cut into their shoulders, but listen, at the end of the day, when they take their packs off, these guys are studs, man. They're healthy, young, and they're built, and their shoulders have indentations from the pack. That's exactly the word Paul uses here, that we as Christians in this world are burdened to the point. We see all the stuff taking place in this world around us, and our hearts are aching over the injustice, the pain, and the sorrow and sin of life. That's another proof that you're a Christian. And that's a great thing. We have heartache. The next thing is that, will there be joy in heaven? Oh, there's going to be joy. There's not only joy in heaven. Listen, only our God can do this. How he is so faithful is beyond my mind, that he even brings us joy in our hardest, most difficult sorrows here now. There is going to be joy. It begins this way for us, knowing in this body that, verse 4 says, that mortality, touch your skin, this mortality will be swallowed up by life. That's good news. Listen to what William Grinnell, the great Puritan preacher, said, talking about mortality being swallowed up by life, talking about this temporal life, life of battle and sin being swallowed up by eternity with God. He says, heaven's number of glorified saints is made up of justified sinners. I like that. How do you get to heaven? Anybody know how to get to heaven? You got to trust in Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? Savior of the world. What do I need a Savior for? Because I'm a sinner. So wait a minute. If I believe and trust in Christ, agreeing with him that I'm a sinner, I have sinned against God and I have offended his laws and his heart, that he'll take my sins and give me his righteousness, and I can have a brand new, I can restart my life? Yes? Wow. His work justifies my life? That's right. He's the atonement. Then now I see how heaven is full of sinners, having been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's good news, because all of a sudden I qualify. Now, for the person today who's going, well, I mean, that's very dramatic, Pastor, and I'm glad you qualify, but I'm quite fine personally. You're so far from heaven, you don't even have a clue. You're just hovering right over the cliffs of hell right there. I'm so good. I mean, I know Jesus died for all those really bad sinners, but after all, he's got me. Yikes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't it great that the realization, everyone that's in heaven right now is saying, God, you're awesome. You save sinners. He's so good. Joy. Mortality, swallowed up by life. The word swallowed up here is an amazing word. It's hard to even talk about. It's the victory of Jesus swallowed hell and death. That's how I can put it. I can see it in my mind, but I can't say it in words. And if I told you what I'm seeing in my mind, you won't figure it out anyway, because you weren't there. Jesus, having died on the cross and been risen from the dead, swallowed up hell and death. When I was 8 years old, we were swimming at Lake Mead, and I had my fins on, I had my snorkel, I had my mask, and I'm swimming in the water like a little duck. And I'm cruising along in a shallow water. You know what a largemouth bass is, anybody? Okay, first of all, I had no idea. I'm swimming along, and did you know that they make with their tail and stuff, they beat the pebbles and stuff, and they make like a little indentation. They make a nest underwater. Did you know that? And then they lay their eggs among the rocks there, and they protect their eggs. I didn't know that. I'm 8 years old. What do I care? And I'm swimming along, and out of nowhere, this fish, he comes out like this and flares out his flipper things. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, that's cool. Look how close that fish is to me. And I started moving a little bit toward it, and it came, and it opened its mouth, a largemouth bass. You know what? At that moment, I know I was only eight, but I thought that Jonas fish. That thing opened up. It opens up. It's the size of its entire body. And it hit me right on the face mask. Boom! Telling me to back away from its eggs. Let me tell you something. I don't remember if I cried or if I said, you know, I hurt myself or whatever, but I got out of that water, I ran over to my mom, I think I sat in her lap. Scared me to death. When I think of the power of Jesus at the cross and being resurrected from the dead swallows up hell and death and sin in the grave, I see that picture in my mind, and it's like, thank you, God. That is awesome. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 14 that for those who don't trust Christ, the scripture says that hell stirs from beneath and opens wide its mouth to receive those who do not believe. And there'll come a time in all of our lives where these tents that we're wearing will stop functioning. And we'll enter into eternity. But there's going to be great joy. Here you go. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Paul says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Boom. You can't go there in your body. It won't work. It's like having a tea party at the bottom of the sea. You're not going to last very long. You need a new suit. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be, notice Paul was looking for the Lord's return, we shall be metamorphosed, changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Gulp. O death, where is your sting? Does death concern you? God says to the Christian, are you kidding? Now it's just a tool I use to get you with me up here. Have you ever thought about that? The Christian, raise your hand if you're a Christian. Put your hand down. Do you know you're not very far from home? A Christian's never far from home. 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 Right? Airplane go down. Home. We are never far from home at any given moment. That's good news. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is awesome. And then finally, we'll have to end here because we're out of time. There's going to be a day. There is going to be a day, verse 5. Now he who has prepared us. This is too cool. We could spend months on this verse. Don't tempt me. I'm telling you right now. Verse 5 is pregnant with meaning. It's so cool. Now he. Notice it's capital H. God who has prepared. Past tense. Us for this very thing. It's God. What's this? What's been done? We should ask the question as good investigators. What's been done? What has he done? He's done something. When did he do it? Ah, good question. And how big is it? Oh, it's big. What is it? Who also has given us the Spirit. Notice in your Bible, capital S, Holy Spirit. As a guarantee. The word guarantee means down payment. Layaway. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a layaway who dwells with us. And God has done something. What has God done? Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5 tells us. What is this? Now look, we think as you turn there and as you mark your Bible, Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, listen to this. You and I think on a linear basis too much. We get so busy like an ant running around on the plane that we live on, we hardly even look up at the sky anymore. But God's eternal. And wherever there is a physical mass, there is time. Time is limited by the physical universe. In eternity, there's no time. The Bible says in John, God is what? Physical or spirit? It says he's spirit. So for us, when did, and this gets so fun, when did we, in the mind of God, not you, in the mind of God, when were we saved as Christians? Well, God can't learn anything. Everything is the now with him. Before Jupiter or Mars or the Pacific Ocean was ever made, God knew that you were going to be a Christian. I didn't know. You didn't know. But God knew. And watch what happens here. Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ even before he made the world. God loved us. How in the world can he do that? He's God. And chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Wow. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. He's eternal. And there's going to be a day that you and I will move into eternity and be with him where he's at. There's a move-in date coming. The way the world's going, it could be any day now, huh? Imagine a trumpet blast and we're out of here. Listen, we'll end with this. It's kind of fun. Didn't Jesus say in John 14, I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go, I will come back, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. Okay? That's true. So Jesus is preparing a place. But a moment ago, I read that we are to be clothed by the work of one whom an assistant, the valet, clothes us with. What's happening right now here? What's happening? What's going on at this very second is this. Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is inside of you, preparing you for heaven. Oh, God's at work. You know, sometimes when you look at a project, it doesn't seem like it's ever going to come together, huh? And then finally, something happens, and it's now I see it. The world is coming unhinged, and you don't panic about that. You just start to say, now I'm starting to see. hey, I saw God do this in my family. Hey, I've seen God do this in my marriage. Hey, I see God do this in my life. Now I'm starting to see. What's happening? The Holy Spirit, the Vallet, is clothing you and preparing you for heaven. And Jesus is preparing heaven for you. What a deal. When do we move? Any day now, I hope. But even if we live on an old age, it won't be long. What an awesome hope we have in Jesus. There's going to come a day. Remember that song, Oh Happy Day? I can't sing. I'm really tempted right now, though. Oh Happy Day. What's it? Oh Happy Day. When? How's it go? When Jesus washed sins away. I love it. That's awesome. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. As a Christian, part three of this message will be living like it. It'll be tell me more about heaven, but it will demand of us that we live like it. If Jesus washed our sins away and it's all been settled, then why don't we live like it? And it's my prayer that after we get this little mini-series that's turned out in this particular study behind us, that the Holy Spirit's desire is to radicalize you for Jesus Christ. Yeah. What does that look like? You'll be the most wild, crazy, freaked out, loving, caring, beautiful people on the planet. That's what a radicalized person for Jesus does. Love on everybody. They don't blow anybody up.
Well, you use the word radicalized.
Yeah, it all depends on who's radicalizing you. The Holy Spirit wants to radicalize you. What does that mean? Make you a loving maniac.
Amen.
Are you my enemy? Yes, I can't stand you. Oh, man, I love you. What's wrong? You got a flat tire? Live up, pulling over there. I'm a Christian. Jesus loves you. Let's fix that tire in Jesus' name. I mean, for crying out loud, it's amazing. Amen? Look, if you're not a Christian, you're in big trouble. If you're not a Christian, you are skating on ice, and there's flames underneath the ice. And it's getting hot outside. And you're thinking, just one more lap. Don't do that. Right where you're at today, you can say yes to Jesus right where you're at. If you're a Christian today, listen, it's a good day for us. It's always a good day for us to say, Lord, here I am. I want to absolutely go crazy for you, Jesus. I want to stop playing it safe. I've played it safe for such stupid things.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Tell Me More About Heaven. It's taken from the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul explains how our bodies in eternity will be different from our temporal earthly bodies. Tell Me More About Heaven is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of which, Pastor Jack has a great treatment on this topic on MP3 CD. It's called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? How Do We Get From Here to Heaven on MP3 CD is all yours for your contribution of any amount to this broadcast outreach called Real Radio. How Do We Get From Here to Heaven features a total of 17 messages in all, which focus on the requirements as laid out in Scripture for us to spend eternity with our Creator. Call, click, or write, just be sure to mention that title by name, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, on MP3 CD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'd like to reach us by phone? That's easy. 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to get us by mail, send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.